Scoff and Quaff Show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
And good morning, listener. Warm good morning from a little bit of a snowy Romney Marsh, Dymchurch, on the Kent coast by the sea. So today coming in, I actually drove through about, I don't know, five different weather types. I had hail when I was walking the dog, which wasn't very pleasant. Pooper scooping with an umbrella is an art, listener. It really is. You know, you've got your umbrella, great big... You know, I've got a great big umbrella, wooden thing. And honestly, it wasn't easy. And I knew my neighbour was watching me as well and laughing. Anyway, I managed and took the dog for a walk in hail. Then I came through into fog, snow, all sorts. We've got 11 puppy huskies outside, which you may have seen on the Twitter feed. And we have a fabulous show. I'm in my element. I shall be eating for the whole hour. We have, of course... the fabulous Peter Wiggins. You may have heard of him. He's the Proper Tea Company on the Twitter. So it's at the Proper Tea Company. He's going to bring a bit of decorum into the studio and tell us about how to blend teas, how to brew tea. None of this just wave a bag out and all that sort of stuff. Proper tea. I'm looking forward to that because I haven't met Peter Wiggins before. And he'll also be filling us in on Tunbridge Farmers Market. Next to him, flanking him, we have our resident game hunter, the lovely Phil of Godmersham Game, Phil Miles. And he's also brought in a picture of his lovely baby. Congratulations, Phil.
Thank you very much indeed.
And 22 weeks or months, I've lost track.
22 months, good God, no. Weeks.
Weeks.
Weeks. I think it's 22. And if my young lady's listening, I've got it wrong. I'm in so much trouble.
Yes, and he was in a little, propped up in a little green rubber ring.
Well, yes, it's like one of these bouncy things.
Yeah, because they're all floppy, aren't they, at that age?
Yes.
And has he had a shotgun under his arm yet?
Not quite, but I do have a picture with him with a cloth cap on, so.
Hey up. Oh, well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much.
Smashing news. And no doubt you're not getting any sleep.
You can see that, can't you?
Yeah. No, you always look handsome. So you can follow Phil. Now, he is on the Produced in Kent website, and you can find him at all the farmers markets. And he's going to be helping us tuck into a little bit of... what is it you've brought in?
We have some venison salami made from venison from Kent.
Oh, Kentish venison. And I think our friends at the Minis had something to do with it. You're going to tell
us? Yes, we do. We have a barter system going. They produce the stuff for me, and they keep some, or I provide other products for them.
Sounds very tasty. I can't wait. Phil did offer me some, but I'm so professional, listener. I refused before the mic went on, but I will be tucking in a minute. And then next to him, we have in her lovely teal dress, which you'll see on the photo, the fabulous Debbie of Linton Chocolates. So she's brought in I told her to bring the whole range, Debbie Carter, whole range. So we're going through, I did have some rather nice... was a white chocolate with fresh raspberry crushed in it.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That was last time, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, I'm wearing it today.
Yes, you are.
But you've also brought in some of your dark chocolate to complement the venison.
Yes, I have. Some 70%, which is obviously great for cooking or eating as well. It's wonderful and better for
both
you.
Both, even.
Yes.
Better for you, definitely. And Peter will be flanking the whole affair with... What teas have you brought in, Peter?
Okay, I've brought a couple in. One with Valentine's Day in mind, and another one as an alternative to coffee at the end of a meal.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, a little thing that always bothers me when I go out. Is it true that tea has the same amount of caffeine as coffee?
It's got quite a bit of caffeine in it. Yes, a black tea has, but a green tea slightly lower, white teas lower, don't let that put you off.
I won't, but what does put my husband off is if we go out in the evening and I have a coffee and I forget to ask for decaf. And then I'm twitching about all night, and he gets really furious with me. Why did you drink coffee? You know. So
we'll go for a green tea.
A greenie. And do you know what I notice with green? Because I drink a lot of green. My brain feels different on it. It soothes and stretches out my brain.
I have nothing to say
to
that.
It's a little bit hippie. A little bit hippie, isn't it? But go with me.
I'm with you.
Listener, have a little trial. Speak to Peter, of course, because he is the property company. But have a little go. Cut your caffeine out completely and just have green tea. And I have ginger and lemon and all sorts. I don't like those sort of chamomile. Not mad on them, but I do like a ginger and lemon. But I might like one of your chamomile.
Well, you might. We blend ours with a bit of lavender.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, just sends you to sleep.
Yeah,
as soon as you open the packet, yeah, you don't even need to drink it.
Well, just smelling it.
Yes,
but that's very hippie as well, isn't it? But I do find if you cut the caffeine out and then you just stick to green, my brain, I don't feel quite as mad as I usually do.
Okay.
I have a little out of brain feeling when I have too much caffeine.
Okay.
You could scrape me off the ceiling at times. And Peter is very kindly, I've thrown him in, listen, he's never been on the show before. Steve Wood, you'll love this. I've thrown him in at the deep end and made him read out, because Dr. John is on his sabbatical, of course. He's sitting in a Panama chair somewhere with his feet up and perhaps a little sherry or something.
Listening to us, though, I had.
Oh, of course, heckling, no doubt. So Peter Wiggins has kindly stepped in. He's going to tell us some stuff. First of all, I do need to tell you thank you, big thank you to our sponsors who are at WeSet Global UK, and they do wine training and tasting for corporate dues, but also you can get a certificate. So you can go on one of their courses and learn about proper wine tasting and come out with a certificate. So thank you to them at WeSet, WSET Global, and at WeSet UK. Also, the lovely Jo Banks on the Twitter. She's at Jo, J-O Banks 15. And she's a Pampered Chef, and she will organise a lovely party for you. She's the queen of the Pampered Chef parties. Follow her and tweet her and get her in to do a party for you. And then, of course, the fabulous David Street, who was on last week, Nothing But Snack, of which I have one left, David. I've got, what have I got left? The apple and fig. So I might save that for Business Bunker, as we've got so much to eat. But he was heading off this morning to Stansted Airport. He sent me a snowy picture about 6 o'clock. So, we have, of course, Tunbridge Farmers Market, who are listening in, and they say, morning, scoffers. The 8th of February, which is this Sunday, it's Scallop Sunday. That will be interesting. I do love a scallop. If you were listening the other week, we had the Three Tons Pub, and their lovely Dean did a fabulous scallop with white chocolate and cauliflower puree. It was really delicious, lovely. So do send us in your tweets. We've had quite a few events and that coming in, which we will read you in a tick. But we're going to go over to the lovely Peter and put him through his paces. So, Peter, what news have you found?
Well, there's more doom and gloom for those who like a drink, really, in the Daily Mail.
Oh, that's me. My one weakness. And Debbie.
Well, once again, it's...
Phil's keeping quiet.
It's more research about drinking every day and how it increases the risk of liver cirrhosis. I'll just read you a little bit here.
Yes, do tell us.
You might think that knocking back a drink 6 days out of seven doesn't sound like the most virtuous of health plans. But according to research, laying off alcohol for just 1 day a week could significantly reduce your risk of liver damage. Scientists have previously claimed that those who drink large amounts are the most likely to develop alcoholic cirrhosis. But now, a study of around 55,000 people has shown that drinking patterns can also influence your risk. Volunteers were quizzed on their lifestyle, eating habits and waist circumferences as part of the test.
Oh dear.
Yes, I know.
It's my downfall, the waist.
And they were also asked to report their average alcohol intake in their 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s. Well, to cut a long story short, basically they found that those who cut out alcohol just 1 day a week are likely to reduce the risk of liver cirrhosis.
Well, that is interesting. 1 day a week, Debbie. Well, Debbie's got a very pained face.
It's no great hardship,
no,
is it?
Well, it isn't. I must admit, I don't drink every day, but I probably
it's
have too
Phil
much when I do drink. So, yes. But there we go. But I think, you know, a lot of these things... they say one thing one minute and the next day it's some other study that says something completely different. Mm. I think on the whole, if you drink in moderation and, you know, have a binge on an occasional special occasion, then I really don't see there's a lot of harm in it.
Right. Okay, that's Debbie's health tips there.
And eat some chocolate with it.
There was a glimmer of good news in it, in as much as wine isn't as bad as beer, they say.
Okay.
For those wine drinkers.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, or Prosecco.
Prosecco is my one weakness, yes. As is Cava, and English sparkling, I find, slips down a treat.
Yes.
Squarries, of course. We were at the Squarries. I was there with Scoff, and lovely English sparkling there. Mm. Very nice. Thank you, Peter. Have you got anything else to read us?
Well, yes. And another, you know, one of these super berries in the news this time. It's, forget your goji berries. This year it's all about the baobab. And
baobab tree.
Yes, that's right, which are fabulous. Have you seen them?
Well, I've got to tell you, Peter, I must interrupt. I'm known for that.
Do, it's your show.
You know, it's the only thing I ever learned in geography. In the 70s, the baobab tree. It's all I ever remember from geography. So do tell us.
Yeah, well, apparently the it's got a pod-like fruit on it. It grows in Africa. And it's one of the highest fruits with antioxidant capacities. And
okay.
It's got, was it six times the vitamin C of oranges, and more potassium than bananas, more magnesium than spinach, and more iron than red meat. Sounds too good to be true.
It does. I wonder what it tastes like.
I know, but you see, you could mix the old baobab in with your chocolate, couldn't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Apparently Waitrose and M&S are doing drinks with it in.
So it's not just any baobab tree, it's M&S baobab
I wonder if
tree.
It would go nicely with a bit of Prosecco.
It would. But you know, I expect Gwynnie's already eating it. Oh, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, oh, undoubtedly.
She'll be on it, and Madonna, she'll be on it. So I think we ought to get some.
Worth
Peter,
a try.
Thank you very much. I think you've done this before.
I'm going to put some in some tea, I think.
Yes, wait till Stevie Wood hears your what do we call them, ditties. I've got a little bit of news here. There's a new cafe that's opening in Whitstable. It's above the Castle Lewes, very scenic. Mm. This is from the lovely Caroline Mumford, who tweeted me this about 4 hours ago. And it's going to be called, well, on the Twitter, it's @TheBubbleWit. So congratulations to them. I shall trot along. And also Thanet Farmers Market have said, morning, scoffers. The first Thanet Farmers Market of the year, I guess they mean, is at Marlow Academy, and it's 9:30 to 1. Where's the Marlow Academy? Is that in Thanet or is that Canterbury? I thought, I don't know. We'll need to look into it. Phil gave me a blank look. I thought Phil knew everything about farmers markets, Phil.
No, if it's not in the woods, I don't know where it is.
I thought your ripe old age, you'd know all these farmers markets.
No.
Also, Burger Brothers, thanks for your tweet this morning. That's Carl with a K. He says the launch of Pancake Brunch, I like that, on a Saturday at Whitstable, that's at the Coach and Horses, and at Albury's in Canterbury. And they're also doing an American roast on Sunday at Whitstable too, and that's at the Coach and Horses. Carl, darling, if you're listening, could you do me a gluten-free pancake brunch and then I'll come in? Go on, you could easily whip me one up.
Just found the Marlow Academy is Stirling Way, Ramsgate.
Okay.
For that farmer's market.
Very confusing, Marlow, because I always think of Christopher Marlow.
Because of the theatre is in Canterbury, so yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he had something to do with Ramsgate as well.
Possibly. Now, I have a feeling that Steve Wood is going to ask me a question, which is, who is on next week? Because he always gets me. So I'm going to tell you now, listener, while I've got my paper together. It's the 10th of Feb. We've got next week Julian Lucas at Kent Dark Chocolate. He's based in Folkestone. You can see where I'm going with chocolate this month for Valentine. And we've got Paul of Arcade Fisheries. So that should be an interesting one. Fish and chocolate. Possibly not in the same mouthful, but an interesting one. We're going to kick back, listener, and we're going to, thinking of waistline, we're going to have a little bit of chubby checker, and we're all going to do the twist.
Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Oh, you're looking good. I'm going to sing my song. It won't take long. We're going to do the twist, and it goes like this. Come on, let's twist again. Again, like we did last year. Do you
Got a few inches whittled off my waist. I think Ted Bassett Myers, the personal trainer, would be very happy with that song. If you want to follow him and you're in a 30-mile radius of Canterbury, you can have a personal training experience with, on the Twitter, at Bassett, that's B-A-S-S-E-T-T, Myers, P-T, personal training. Give him a call, highly recommended. We're now going to talk to the lovely Phil Miles from God Mission Game and find out what he's been up to at the markets once he puts the baby down. And may I have a little squiffy of what you've got there? What have you got? It looks delicious.
Well, what we have
while
here...
While you chat, I can just munch.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Jules, not talking, there's a rare bird. Right. What we have here is a venison and red wine salami, produced in Kent, made from local wild venison. So there's a little piece for you, Jules.
Oh,
enjoy.
Thank you very much. All right, you chat. Oh, thank
Wine
you.
Fingers.
I'm smelling it first. Mm-hmm. And the smell, listener, is, oh, that is really, it's a rich, obviously, venison, a nice rich smell. But I'm getting a bit of spice in there as well. And the colour, it's a really quite deep red, isn't it? Gorgeous.
Yes.
Phil, you chat.
Okay.
He's passing it around to
you. Yeah, so just making sure everyone gets in it,
Debbie,
because I know what you're like. You'll be in there and eat the lot, no doubt.
Well, it's lovely and tender.
It's
not chewy.
No, it's the best that we've had made so far. So if the boys down at the Minnis Bay restaurant are listening, thank you very much, boys. Well done. And
yeah.
We should bake some more of this one.
Yes. I was there the other Sunday. Now I'm fancying a glass of red wine.
Oh, that would go really nicely.
Wouldn't
nice
it go well?
Mm.
A nice...
Yes.
Barolo or a...
Yeah.
Carry on.
Indeed. Okay, so what we're trying to do is come up with some different ideas using the venison. And one thing, obviously, you've got your classic stews and casseroles. And then we've got a lady sat here that does chocolate.
Mm.
There is another classic one that I've used a number of times, is where you actually use a 70% cocoa chocolate and some chilli in the stew. And you're talking of reasonably small amount of chocolate, depending on obviously the volume of stew that you're cooking, and just enough chili to get some warmth. You don't want heat, you want that warmth. And I've noticed when you put the chocolate in, the whole gravy just transforms, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've tried that myself with game and also with chili, but like you say, a really small amount. Otherwise, it's just
sure.
Too much.
So you've brought in some 70% chocolate
to complement.
Sadly, we didn't bring any wine under our arm. We missed a trick. Next time Phil's on, we must get wine.
Definitely.
So this little partnership. Are you doing other partnerships with people with your venison and things?
Well, what we're doing, I'm working quite closely with another game dealer, so we can get some stuff processed.
Are we allowed to say his name?
Well,
you don't have to.
Probably not at this stage.
Okay.
I haven't got their permission to do so.
Okay.
I was waiting for a phone call, but they didn't, so I shan't mention
that. That's fine.
But it is a local firm, been around quite some time, and we're working quite closely with those to get the birds processed here locally as well. So we'll have great times. Hopefully next season, and we'll be working more closely together. But it's like these chaps down at the Minnis Bay, Well, hopefully you'll be doing some more wild boar salami, which they made one batch for me, which was really, really good.
What about your wild boars? Because, you know, I do work with one sometimes, when Dr. John occasionally pops into the studio. But are you catching any wild boars? I saw a badger this morning. I think it's a badger.
Yes, it was a badger if you came in the same way as
yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Would you pick that up?
No.
Would you?
No.
Not eat a badger?
Well, if I was hungry enough, probably, but not one that's been killed on the road because you get lots of damage. We have chaps sometimes turn up at the units with deer that have been hit, killed by vehicles, and generally they're not a lot of good because of the massive internal damages and that type of thing.
But how does the internal damage affect a leg?
Okay, well, let's assume that the animal's been hit and the stomach has been ruptured.
Right.
And therefore you've got the partly digested grass type thing. We would have to condemn that carcass straight away for salmonella poisoning.
Mm.
So you have to be very careful.
For what poisoning?
Salmonella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So these guys that go around doing roadkill should be a bit careful.
Should be wary of that, yeah.
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 So tell us about your boars then.
The boar, okay.
The ones we don't work with.
Well, the ones we don't work with. Okay, well, the ones that we're dealing with, which are pretty much local to here, aren't pure wild boar. It's what's called a feral boar. They're partly, they're probably about 80% pure, because the male boar mates with any sound it comes across.
Mm.
And that's why you get this other layer of feral pigs. But there are a few of those kicking around. I do a lot of business with the Forestry Commission. And they, in Sussex mostly, they have a lot of pure wild boar. So we get them coming in as well.
Now, did I read somewhere that the Queen's pigs got attacked by a wild boar? Would that happen? I suppose they were trying to mate.
Well, quite possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I hadn't heard that, but if
I think I read it somewhere, maybe the Daily Mail. I always nick my mum's Daily Mail the next day. I wouldn't buy it, but I do like to read it. And my son says to me, he's at uni at the moment, the young Shay is 19. If I tell him anything, he goes, Mum, you've been reading the Daily Mail again. You know, any of my sort of scathing things. But, yeah, so that would happen, a wild boar.
If it was a male trying to get to the sales, then quite possibly, yeah. Not so much attacking, really, but...
Mating.
Mating, yes.
Attempting to.
Indeed.
Okay. And what do you find that people... Because you go up to London to markets.
Yes, we do, yeah.
So tell us about your London markets.
Okay, well, obviously, London is such a mix of people now.
Mm.
We get a lot of people that come over from... They're coming from Eastern Europe... where game is a normal meat that would be presented to them as just normal food.
Yeah, so Romania, I would imagine a lot of
Czechoslovakia, Romania, Czechs, Bulgaria, yeah. all out through that way. So they do ask us for the venison and the other game birds, perhaps a lot more. Again, we've seen over the last 11 years since we've been trading, people's attitudes towards game has changed quite dramatically for health reasons.
Lean.
Yeah. Low in cholesterol, high in protein, that type of thing.
Not all the hormones and antibiotics and things.
Indeed.
Pumped in.
Yeah. There's also this sustainability where we have a product that, as long as the environment's there, it will keep renewing itself.
Yeah.
Year after year. The fact that it's fairly local, you've got this food miles as well. So it ticks all the boxes, really, on the environmental issues and personal issues for people that want to eat healthier and do that type of thing.
And what about your pheasants? Is that going well?
Yeah, the season for the pheasant has just literally finished.
Mm.
But yeah, we've been doing okay. Again, a lot of local birds coming in, partridges. The only bird season that's still available to is duck, because people think the duck season's over. It is on the mainland, but if you hop over the seawall and get below the high watermark, then you can shoot duck up until the 20th of Feb.
Okay, and what kind of ducks would you be shooting? Teal?
Yeah, teal, widgeon, pochard, gadwell, shoveler, tufty.
Say again. Teal, widgeon,
yeah.
Tufty.
Right, if I said to you, name me a wild duck, most people go mallard, wouldn't they? The one
yeah.
the one that you see on every village pond.
And do you shoot mallard?
Yes, we shoot a lot of mallard.
Is there much meat on a mallard?
Mallard's the biggest wild duck that we hunt.
Okay.
Nice steaky meat, excellent eating.
Yeah.
So you've got mallard,
yeah.
gadwell, shoveler.
Tufty.
Tufty,
yeah.
pintail, widgeon. Yeah.
Widgeon is sort of a cross with a pigeon, presumably.
No. widgeon is a slightly different duck. He isn't very much, he doesn't quack, he whistles.
Does he?
It does, yes. Right.
Oh, I like things that are a little bit different.
Yeah.
Right. And they eat, they're great plant eaters, and the farmers don't like them because they come in, when they migrate, they come in thousands and, right. and land on the winter wheat and eat all the wheat and or chopped off. They don't like that. So
Donald? Donald?
Well, yes, I mean, I say that sometimes on the stall. We've got Thumper, Donald and Bambi on the stall today.
Oh, no, I couldn't eat a Bambi. Did I ever talk to you about that awful goose that I bought off some amateur once? A friend of mine who said he had a grey-legged goose.
Grey-legged goose, yes, generally good eating.
Yeah. Oh, it was hideous. I cooked it for the family.
Right.
And of course, my kids tweeted about it for weeks on end, you know, hairy goose and all this. But it came, but it was tough as old boots.
Oh, yeah.
And I must have been a runner, Phil, as we usually, Phil and I have these conversations about rabbits. But I cooked it perfectly. I went with Delia and, you know, the whole thing. But it was inedible.
Really?
I was so disappointed. I did tell the people when they offered me another goose at the same price, and I said no thanks because the other one was bloody, I mustn't swear, was inedible. And he said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, well, put it this way, I needed a mallet. You just couldn't eat it.
Well, the problem is when the birds are coming in that V shape, you normally have the older birds in front because they're more experienced. Let them go and try and take out some of the ones near the end.
So an amateur wouldn't know that. And also, I think when they pluck it, they should have realised, shouldn't they? Can you tell by plucking?
Not really.
Okay.
No, it's obviously the size of the bird will give you some indication as to its age.
So when you're shooting something like that in the V shape, you would go for the back, the rear end?
Theoretically, yes, but it's that old adrenaline rush and the red comes up and you just, shoot. Bugger, I should have shot that one.
And tell me about shot.
Shots.
You know, when you're in a restaurant and you're taking out bits of, you know, practically your teeth are broken because you've chomped on it. And I always want to go, waiter, there's a shot in my, you know, but then my husband was moaning about it. We went, I can't even remember where we were, somewhere lovely. But was all these bits of shot and he was moaning about it. I said, you have, it's part of the thing. That if you
excuse the pun, it's part of the game.
Right? Yeah.
If things get shot. A lot of the shot with the birds will pass through, generally through the breast.
Right.
Breastplate and lodge in the gut. So when you eviscerate the bird, you'll lose a lot of the shot that way. But that's not to say you won't get pellets lodged in the leg or the breast. You can't guarantee that's not going to happen.
Okay, so in a restaurant, you just go with it. You try not to break your teeth and you pick them out politely and put them
indeed,
on the side
yes,
of your plate.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask, while we're chatting, I'm going to ask lovely Peter, because my glass is empty, my cup. Mm. And I'm parched, Peter, so if you would mind putting a little bit of your tea and then you can tell us about it later, but I want a little sip now. But tell me what it is, Peter, when you're popping it in. He's looking scandalised at my mug. It's only a little bit of ginger.
No, I'm just making sure it's clean on the inside.
Well, and the lipstick on the outside is a bit grim. What are you pouring, Peter?
Here you go, have a go. This is a rose condue, but unlike the classic rose condue, which is a black tea from China, this is a green rose condue.
Ooh.
So hold on a second, I'm just going to pass it over to you.
Oh, this sounds lovely. I mustn't spill it on the equipment because... thank you, Peter. Because my...
Can I offer everybody else a drop?
My producer gets very tight-lipped if I spill things on the equipment. So, just to round up, lovely Phil... People can find you at the farmers' market. So, where are you, for example, this weekend?
Well, this weekend it's actually at Whitstable again this weekend.
Whitstable,
the St Mary's Hall.
Oh right, okay. So is that Saturday and Sunday?
No, it's just a Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
The market is every second and fourth Saturday.
Yeah.
In the month.
Yeah.
And we're also at the Oval in London, Brockley in South London. And then Sunday we're at Alexander Palace and Herne Hill in South London.
Gosh, you are. That is busy. And will you have a rest at all in the year?
I'll hopefully get
a... Is there a low season?
It can be. We used to have the problem, obviously, when the season ended, there was nothing else to do. But obviously with our barbecue, that keeps us really busy during the summer. So I've got to the point now, the first thing I do when I put the wall planner up is put the holiday on. And say, we're actually going on holiday. Because if you don't, you just keep booking stuff up and you suddenly think,
Yeah.
We're solid right the way through.
Don't go on a shooting holiday, will you?
Well, sometimes. No, I go fishing instead.
You can find Phil on the Twitter, @GodmishamGame, and also, of course, on Produced in Kent. And he's also on our website. And if you want to get in contact with him, just contact me, Jules Serkin, and we will put you in touch and give you his mobile and everything else. That's fantastic. I'm going to play a little song, and this is especially for Phil, because he always dresses so brilliantly. It's the Kinks.
They seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best. 'Cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And when he does his little rounds round the boutiques of London town, eagerly pursuing all the latest fads and trends, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
Thinks he is a flower to be looked at, and when he pulls his frilly nylon pants, it's raked up tight, he feels a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
There's one thing that he loves, and that is flattery. One week he's in polka dots, the next week he's in stripes, but he's a dedicated follower of fashion. They seek him here, they seek him there, in Regent Street and Leicester Square. Everywhere the Carnavician army marches on, each one a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
His world is built round discotheques and parties. Pleasure-seeking individual always looks his best, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. Oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is,
oh yes he is.
He flits from shop to shop just like a butterfly. In matters of the cloth he is as thick as can be, 'cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion. He's a dedicated follower of fashion.
And my headphones have got caught in the wheel of my chair because I was tweeting. So I am now flying blind. But tell me, we're just going to introduce the fabulous Linton Chocolates, Debbie. While I untangle my headphones, Debbie, I'm just going to pop one of these champagne truffles in, and you're going to tell me about what you brought in and what will go with Phil's lovely venison. So you carry on while I undo my chair.
Okay, well, what you're trying now, as you say, is a champagne truffle. So it's got a beautiful marked champagne ganache in the middle with a white chocolate base, and then it's coated in 55% dark chocolate. Mm. So, which I think works really well.
And listener, when you bite in, has Peter had one yet? Oh,
had
Peter. Peter.
Oh dear, two.
Phil's had one. Oh, what a shame. You have to have two. Yeah. Well, you bite in, listener, and the inside just oozes out. That's delicious. You make these by hand?
Yes, I made those yesterday afternoon, actually, especially for you, Jules.
Mm. So these are perfect for someone to, a lady, to lounge.
Yes.
On a chaise longue.
Absolutely.
And be fed them by her beau on Valentine's.
That's the idea. I always think they work great for Valentine's, wedding favours as well. And in the picture that was posted earlier, I've got those beautiful red suede heart boxes, which actually I don't just sell them on Valentine's. I mean, obviously, I sell a lot more of things like that Valentine's Day, but somebody ordered one for Christmas, or people do them for Mother's Day. But it's just a wonderful, soft touch box.
You know, this is the perfect Valentine's, isn't it? Because you would have perhaps a little glass of English sparkling or Prosecco. Then you'd go on to some venison with a little bit of your 70% dark chocolate. And then you carry on with the truffles, of course, and everything else. And then you'd polish off. I mean, this rose tea that Peter, listener, you have to be here because this tea, remind me again what it was with rose and...
Okay, it's a green tea. It's a green tea from the Yunnan district in China. So it's a fairly soft green tea, just a light tang to it.
And beautiful.
A slightly dry finish. And then it's been layered with fresh rose petals and turned until it just gradually becomes perfumed.
God, you would never want to have something out of a bag again. It's just divine.
It's lovely.
So wouldn't it complement that, you know, your chocs? So tell us about your chockies and why you started.
Oh, gosh. Well, I started originally just because...
And may I have another one while you're chatting?
Yes, of course.
I love my job, listener.
I started making just a basic 70% truffle, actually, to a French recipe. My uncle had a French girlfriend. She used to make them when I was a teenager.
This is a different one. Or is it the same?
No, it's the same. They're all the same in there.
I didn't see the inside before. I think yes, I popped it in the hole.
Yes, I think you did.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
Now I'm actually biting into it. How embarrassing.
So the 70% truffles that I still make these now, although when I first started, I just used to roll them in cocoa, but now I dip them lightly in the 70% chocolate and then roll them in cocoa. And that's got a butter content in the ganache as well. A lot of my ganaches are generally sort of cream chocolate and glucose. With the 70%, the chocolate that I use, the 70%, it's an Ecuador single origin chocolate, and it's got a wonderful fruity note to it. I don't know if you want to.
I love it because it's not so sweet as well. It's just got.
That's it.
Don't you think? Peter's nodding. Peter, what are you getting?
It's quite grown up too, and I think, I mean, you were saying, you know, it's great for Valentine's Day for you lying in your chaise longue.
Yes.
I think it's fine for us blokes too.
On a chaise longue or
anywhere.
But it's, as you say, because it's got less fat and less sugar in it, so it's healthier for you. And
there you are. Ted Bassett's listening. Ted Bassett Myers, the personal trainer. It's very good for you, Ted.
It is. And the thing is as well, because it's a strong flavour, unlike some sort of cheap mass-produced chocolate where you could literally, or some people do, sit there and sort of woof a whole box or a great big bar down, a little bit is enough to satisfy you, especially if you just put a square in your mouth and let it melt on the tongue. But because it's a good quality chocolate as well, although it's strong and it is bitter because it's not sweet, but it hasn't got that harsh sort of cloying texture on your tongue when you finish it.
It doesn't hang around on the thing. Now, I'm just going to pass this one around to the guys in the studio. This is the Ecuadorian single origin 70%. I'm having a little square of that, listener. I'm going to pass it over to Peter and Phil. There you are, guys. So where can we find your chocolates?
Well, you can buy the bars and things online and certain amount of the boxes as well, and also in some local farm shops. But if I'm always looking for more outlets, and the bars particularly sell very well in farm shops and other shops that are keen to stock local sort of more artisan products. I find that they go very well.
You can find Debbie on www.linton-chocolates.co.uk. She's also on Facebook, Linton Chocolates, and of course the Twitter, at Linton Chocolate. But you're also doing corporate parties and things like that, aren't you?
Yes. Well, I've done one corporate party a few years ago, but I've just recently started doing children's parties as well. And, you know, if anybody's interested in a children's or a corporate party, or just people that would like to know more about how to make chocolate, then,
do workshops and things?
I can do workshops, yes, and where people can have a go at making things. I mean, the party I did at the weekend, they they all made some truffles, which they filled and dipped themselves, very tactile, rolling the truffles in chocolate with a gloved hand. And then, of course, the kids all wanted to lick their gloves afterwards, which was great fun for them, although they did get a bit messy. But there we go. That was all part of the enjoyment. And they get a choice of different flavoured fillings that they can make. I mean, with the children's party, we tend to go with milk chocolate, because obviously that appeals to a lot of people. But you can choose whether you're working with milk or dark chocolate, and you can make bars and lollipops. And at the beginning of the party, we start off making a fabulous bowl with a balloon.
A bowl?
Yes, and then you can put your truffles that you make and your lollipops that you make in your chocolate bowl and wrap it up to take it home.
It's an interesting thing, because normally I'm a bit careful about eating chocolate live, because it makes you sort of cough and dry up a little bit when you're presenting, but yours doesn't, and you're absolutely right, it's not hanging around.
No.
I feel I could eat quite a lot of it
without
drying up. Peter, have you tried Ecuadorian, the single origin?
I have, and I agree with you. It's just not chlory at all.
No. If that's even a word, we don't know. Chloe.
Chlorine.
You know, chlorine. Yeah, it's like a claw.
Yeah.
Like one of Phil's wild boar claws.
I can't talk, I'm eating chocolate.
Phil, can you see this with your venison as a sauce?
Yes, I can.
Dark one.
It hasn't got that aftertaste to it, which is great. And I can see that just melting in. Because what you want from the chocolate, when it hits that gravy, just that hit of richness.
Yes.
You don't want it. It's difficult to explain on the radio, but it just transforms the colour and adds a real deep colour.
Yes, because you eat with the eye as well, don't you? And like you say, if it transforms the colour to a degree and I was always taught
when you're cooking, you know, if it smells good, that's the first sense you normally get the waft of cooking from the kitchen. And then if someone then brings out this steaming pile or whatever it may be, and it looks good, so you've now got two sensories going, wow.
Yeah.
Generally, the brain's going to, or he's saying to you, it's going to taste good anyway because of how it's been presented and the aroma from the dish.
I've got very excited, listener, because I know Nurse Liz Gilson, who tunes in every Tuesday from Maryland in the USA, and they're different time zones. She sets her alarm. And she's saying, you know, she loves my job, and she said it's a delicious show. But, I've just spotted Nurse Liz, Belgian Dark Chocolate by Linton Chocolates with a honeycomb bar. Now, honeycomb, as you may know, listener, is one of my one weaknesses, and I do love it. So we can find you on your website. Farmers markets?
I do some farmers markets, but it's very limited, really, because... chocolate being what it is, it's generally not the sort of thing that a lot of people look to buy at farmers markets.
No.
So I tend to do more food fairs and things, and as I say, supply shops. That's mainly what I do. And of course, I also work with Potash Farm.
Oh yeah,
with the cob nuts.
Gorgeous.
Yes, which are very. I mean, I do them. I sell them myself as well. Cob nut bars and chocolate coated cob nuts. Which I think I brought some on in December.
You did, and I ate them all. It was very, very pleasant. I just wanted to say a quick hello to new listener Chili Jam listening in. And also, Tunbridge Farmers Market are very impressed that I'm so organised, knowing who next week's guests are. That's because Dr. John's not here. I've got to be organised. I'm all on my own. Eden Valley Chamber, new listeners. They say they're currently enjoying Scoff and Quaff Show on Channel Radio. So that's really nice. And Tunbridge Farmers Market is saying it's a good job we get clever guests that can read. So that's Peter Wiggins, I believe. I have to pass the test. I think this is fabulous. And so children's parties, corporates, and if there are anybody listening who wants to have Debbie's chocolates at wedding, but also, of course, in a shop. So Binnie, if you're listening, Bleen Londis, perfect for you. And perhaps the Minis, you know, for after dinner. Because I noticed on his pudding he had a flake where he could have yours.
Yes, much
so nicer. There we are. That would be keeping it Kentish. We are going to go over to hear about this tea now. Peter's been... what I'm very impressed about is, Peter, is that you've bought this in a flask. Now, normally flask tea, you know, loses its flavour. So to me, it still tastes amazing.
Well, I mean... one of the problems, obviously, with making tea in the flask. A lot of people make the tea and they add milk to it if it's a black tea. And as soon as you put milk into a tea and put it in a flask, it does lose its flavour.
That's my problem, because I tend to do that.
The teas I brought today are both teas that you drink without milk, which is why you're getting the true flavour, and they've not been impaired in any way.
I'll tell you what, listen, I'm feeling ever so full up. It's very, whatever we've had, is because it's real food, you're absolutely right. Because if it was some dairy milk, I could eat the whole bar and want another one. And it's very margarine-y now. There's Kraft, isn't it? It's been taken over by cheese.
Yes, because they've changed the recipe for the cream egg, haven't they?
There was. But it's very cheesy almost, margarine-y. But yours... this is absolutely true, listener. Normally, I would have scoffed that whole packet, but I do feel quite full. back to Peter. So tell us, I finished my rose tea.
Have you?
Would it be rude if I had another one?
Yes.
I'd love one.
Would you like to try the other one? You want more rose?
I hope you noticed the mug I'm drinking out of. It was last week's guest. Nothing but snack. Very nice. I should have bought in, of course, a lovely little china cup and saucer. Vintage.
Bone china,
yes. Yes, and vintage.
Yes.
Oh. You see, and then scoffing your... thank you. Now, what have we got here, apart from lipstick on the side?
It's the same colour as your lipstick.
What? Right. Okay. Oh, this is lovely.
Now, this one. This makes a great alternative to having a cup of coffee, maybe at the end of a meal. I mean, I drink it all day long, but I mean, it's great late evening. It's a Japanese roasted green tea.
Right.
So it's a Japanese bancha, which is a sencha tea that's picked late in the season. So the leaves are a little more mature, and they also use a lot of the stalk as well.
Mm.
The tea is then steamed, and then it's roasted, which gives it this wonderful toasty, nutty, biscuity flavour.
And as you can see, you know, compared to lots of green teas, it's actually quite dark in colour. So have you had a sip?
I'm just about to. Now, where is it? Oh, let's have a look. Carry on.
Mm, I'm just pouring some for the other guests.
Peter's having to do all the work, reading out all the events. Oh, no, this is lovely. And it is really clear, isn't it, and clean. And
it is, it is. And again, one of the important things with it, it's a green tea, and with all green teas, and the mistake that so many people make is they put the water on when it's too hot. And green tea, you've got to get the water temperature right, and then you get the best infusion. So I'm going to have a sip now.
Yeah, now
I have heard that actually. That if you use the water straight off the boil, that you basically, do you burn it or just...
Yeah, it draws out all the tannins. You get that bitterness. So many people, the first thing they say is green teas, oh, they're so bitter. But they're not.
Because
not
they leave the bags in as well for so long.
Well, who use bags
I know. I'm sorry. I do on occasion, I'm afraid. But I literally dip. And I made one for Paul Andrews once, a green tea, and he said, oh, your green tea is really nice.
Yeah.
Because I just wave it in and out.
Don't be afraid. When the kettle boils, switches itself off, walk away. Leave it for 10 minutes before you think about pouring the water onto the tea. Really, as long as that. It only wants to be about 75, 80 degrees, if you really want to know.
So, what do you think of these? Because I've got one of these boiling taps, the crooker, what they're called. But it's another make. But what do you think about those for making? Because I use it all the time for making tea.
If you're making a black tea, you know, your PG tips or Assam or a Darjeeling or something. The water from that is going to be fine if it come out at about boiling then about sort of
I think it's just close under to, it's sort of 99
that's going
it,
to be fine but
by law or something
put that on a green tea and you'll instantly ruin it so
really
absolutely so oh. Don't do it, pour it into a jug or something
and let it cool down
yeah.
Well, that is very, very useful.
And it really makes all the difference. You know, we've got so many customers come to us and say, oh, you know, I don't like green teas. I've got a cupboard full of them and I don't like any of them. We tell them what to do about the water temperature. They go home, they try them all again, and they come back and they say, you're right. Makes all the difference.
Now, where can we find you, Peter?
Well, obviously, you can find us at Tunbridge Farmers Market.
Tell us about Tunbridge. It's this Sunday.
Tunbridge, every second Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
9:30 till 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Sovereign Way, in Tunbridge. It's if you've not been, I mean, it is a fantastic farmers
market. And they've
got
60+ stalls. That's
60
huge
plus stalls, for
February.
I think, for February. That's
huge.
That's right. I mean, you know, up to Christmas you can have, you know, I think there are about 80 stalls just before Christmas. It's I think it's the largest farmers market in Kent.
And it's also Scallop Sunday, which I love.
It
of
is
course.
Indeed. And also, I mean, again, if you've not been, they have a live kitchen stage there, and
Matthew Kearsey Lawson,
Matthew from Kent Fine Foods, and John the baker, they both do cooking demonstrations throughout the morning. Sometimes they have live music as well. It's more of an event than just going to visit.
Yeah, it
market.
Is. It's where you just go and you spend the day and take the kids and the grandma and just
absolutely. And you'll find this at other farmers markets in Kent as well, at Aylesford.
I'm going to read out their website. It's www.tonbridge.co.uk, and it is this Sunday, as Peter says, the 8th of Feb, and Scallop Sunday, so celebrating. There is the winning ticket, of course. Last month's winning ticket is 20381, and the prize is £700 worth of vouchers, which must be claimed by 10 a.m. this Sunday. £700 to spend at the farmers market.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
Fantastic.
I know. And I think people shove them in their handbag and forget, don't they?
I think they do.
So where can we find Peter? Now, I'm going to read out, first of all, his website, Peter Wiggins. As I said on the Twitter, it's at the Property Co. And make sure you've got the in front. So it's at the Proper Tea Co. And it's www.theproperteaco.co.uk. You will find them at farmers markets. But what you were saying was that you can also offer tea rooms and hotels and people their own labels.
Yes, we can. Yeah, yeah. This year we're starting to develop our trade side of the business.
Very exciting.
Yes. And one of the offerings will be own label teas. So those tea rooms that like to sell a packet of tea to their customers when they leave as well, they can have their own branding on our teas that we provide to them.
Great
and we can
idea.
Also do house blends for them.
Great idea. I mean, I'm thinking the Walpole Bay, you need to trot along and see them in Margate, on the next bit after Margate. Lovely, you'd love it.
Okay.
Cream teas and scones, and it's where I went for my hen night.
Fabulous.
Fabulous place. That would be great. And so if you're listening, hotels, and even for a wedding,
yep.
If someone were getting married, you could have, you know,
exactly.
Angela and John's
wedding favours.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah,
so
sure.
I can see you rocking this with Debbie.
Yes.
Linton Chocolates.
Yes.
A little team. And then Phil would pop in with some venison sandwiches in the middle, you know.
It would be wonderful, actually. And I know you get a lot of chocolates now with tea infusions in. So perhaps we should get talking
a lot of those flavours. They really meld together well. Yes.
What do you think? I was just trying to open that and pass it round, a little honeycomb one, as we're nearing the end of the show. We can afford to have the crunchier. What do you think people are... are they changing towards tea, Peter?
Yes, they are, very much so. I mean, coffee... I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a big coffee drinker. Tea has certainly been the underdog on, certainly on the high street for the last few years. You know, you carry on. I'm waiting for my bit now.
Sure. Well, it smells lovely.
But what's exciting is it's so many people assume it's an old person's drink, tea, and it's not. You know, the majority of our customers are younger people who are keen to discover teas, and in much the same way people wanted to discover wines. And the variety in flavour and taste.
So would you do a tea tasting for people?
It's difficult. We don't do it on the stall because it's just too difficult to do.
But if I got a group of people around my house, which is Whitstable.
Again, it's something we're thinking about doing. Yeah, I'm doing one actually in a couple of weeks' time. The first one we've done, actually.
Yeah.
So, watch this space.
And what do you drink in the morning when you wake up?
I drink our own breakfast tea.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, our equivalent of a builder's tea, but it's, you know, more of an architect's tea than a builder's tea.
I had some fitters round to fit my wood burner, and of course they all wanted sugar. I had to scrabble about and find the sugar. I very rarely use sugar, and I've got it for cooking, but, you know, even that's a bit hippie, the sugar I use for cooking. So I had a real scrabble about to find them some sugar, and that's a changing thing, isn't it? You know, people, not many people have three sugars anymore in tea.
I don't think so, no.
And what would you say in the evening, what would you drink?
And even I usually finish the day with a green tea.
Right.
Just because I happen to be a big green tea lover. So if I take a cup of tea to bed with me, I invariably take a green tea.
Do you live alone?
No, I live with my wife.
Oh, right. I was just worried about just the tea in you. I felt sad. So, and does she have a different cup of tea?
Yeah, she has a different cup of tea. She takes the builder to bed.
The builder's tea. I love this. And I have to say, I will be buying a pack of that rose tea. I think for me, because I used to, as I said, buy rose petal tea years ago. But that was absolutely... I love them both. But definitely that rose one is something that you feel like you're nurturing yourself.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Isn't it?
The black version is glorious too, but the green is special.
Twitter is very, very busy and I'm finding it very hard to concentrate on it all. But if I haven't mentioned you, I'm sorry about that. But so just round us up with where we can find. If somebody wants to buy it, they'd go on your website, would they?
They can buy from us online. Yeah, sure.
Okay, so 3W's theproperteaco.co.uk.
That's it.
And farmers markets, and you're at Tunbridge this Sunday?
Definitely.
Okay, with an umbrella. Because last week their one was really windy. You know, it was the gale. Court.
I know. I'm glad I wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't there. But we will be going. And do you ever meet Phil on the circuit?
No. Which is odd.
You probably
usually
will.
We bump into most people.
Mm, you probably will. Debbie.
Yes.
Which is your next farmer's market?
That will be probably Yalding, which is the Saturday after next. So it's actually
brilliant.
After Valentine's Day for that one.
Okay.
That's on the 21st.
Okay.
I think it's the third Saturday.
So I'm thinking that you two could probably get together and do I'm seeing a tea at my house, a tea tasting with that, and then I can sit on the chaise longue and just eat the truffles, the champagne truffles, and sip the rose tea. Do you do coffee as well, Peter?
No, we don't.
So you're really
focusing
on the tea.
We're purely tea, and purely loose leaf too. We don't do any bags.
And I haven't asked you the million-dollar question. How did you... What got your spark of imagination on this company? Because it's only a year you've been...
Yeah, just over a year. I've been a tea addict for 35, 40 years.
Right.
I walked into a tea merchant's in London back in the 1970s and was just knocked out by the variety of tea. I was like a child in a sweet shop, and I've always sort of had that with me ever since. A year or so ago, it was just the right time to do it.
Don't forget, of course, it's the Taste of Kent Awards. I think the voting has now finished for that, hasn't it? But do have a look on the Produced in Kent website and find out what's happening. I think I'm going to the dinner with Stevie Wood, but I need someone to drive me because I do like to drink when I'm there. So if anybody's going from the Whitstable, Herne Bay area and they want me as... lolling in the back of their car on the way back, please let me know.
Sounds like such a great offer.
I know.
Good reviews.
Exactly. Well, Phil was going
to
drive me.
At least it gets her off the chaise long.
True.
It does. I need to just very quickly, because we run out of time, go so quickly, to say a big hello to Miriam McGurk, the author of Tales from Turkey. She's delighted to announce that she's now partnering with a new publishing company, which is Empower Publishing, M-P-O-W-R. And her first volume of Tales from Turkey will be published on the 4th of June by Empower, and the second volume will follow later on. Go to her website, 3ws.talesfromturkey.com, and you can follow her on the Twitter at Miriam_McGurk, which is MGUIRK. And she is my one weakness as well. You've been listening to Scoff and Quaff with the fabulous Peter Wiggins. I've learned so much about tea. And, of course, Phil Miles, telling me all about the runners and the tough ones and how not to have a tough grey goose. And the fabulous Debbie Linton and Debbie Carter. Debbie Linton of Carter's Chocolates.
Oh, there you go.
Debbie Carter. Loving all of the chocolates. I'm going to loll on my back all through Business Bunker and eat them. But join us next week. Do always keep tweeting us at ScoffQuaff, and we will always try and give you a shout out. And my thanks as ever to our sponsors at WeSet Global UK, Wine Training and Corporate Dues, The Pampered Chef at Joe Banks 15, and David Street at Nothing But Snack. Next week, tune in, we'll have Julian Lucas, Kent Dark Chocolate, and Paul of Arcade Fisheries, and that'll be show 79. And from now, from Peter, from Phil, from Debbie, and from myself, Jules Serkin, goodbye, and tune in next week.
Channel Radio. Channelradio.co.uk.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle up.